wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.
Another episode of the S3 podcast, episode 72. Before we get right into it, I want to apologise for the delay. There should have been an episode uploaded yesterday. I have recently started new medication, and so it has been a bit of a process. So I do apologise. But starting from next week, it will be back to its normal running schedule. But without further ado, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at S3Podcast_. We are also on Facebook at the S3Podcast Official. Today's episode is called Who Put Bella in the Witch Elm? So, who put Bella down the Witch Elm is graffiti that appeared in 1944 following the 1943 discovery by four children of the skeletonized remains of a woman inside a witch elm in Hagley Wood. Hagley, located in the estate of Hagley Wood, Hagley Hall, in Worcestershire, England. The victim, whose murder is estimated to have occurred in 1941, remains unidentified, and the current location of her skeleton and autopsy report is unknown. So we are going to go through the discovery, followed by the investigation, and some of the theories. Before we get into that, I just want to quickly cover something that has been massively been talked about. And if you want to find out more about this person and what has recently happened has caused quite a stir, then please go and check out Luxaria on YouTube. She is a trans woman who does commentary videos. So do go and check her out. But Ollie London, for those of you who don't know, is, and I'll bring it up here, this is just going to be a brief, a brief overview. But Ollie London is a British influencer, who recently came out as transracial after going through 18 surgeries to look like BTS star Yimin. And he now is a British person, and he has lived in, I believe, Japan for 8 years. And he has come out and said that he now identifies as Korean, but he's not Korean. Some critics have accused them of cultural appropriation. London said they wanted others to respect their decision following the backlash. In a statement sent to Sky News, the 31-year-old said, "I am not about negativity or sparking controversy. At the end of the day, I'm a human being living in my truth. It's an unfortunate reality for so many to have to hide who they truly are." In their video statement showing the results of their surgery, which includes a facelift, a brow lift and work on their teeth, they said, "I know a lot of people don't understand me, but I do identify as Korean, and I do look Korean now. I do feel Korean." But I'm just gonna insert my own opinion, and I will never ever diminish anyone who comes out as non-binary, gay, lesbian. I would never do that because I know how hard it can be, right? So, I'm just being very, obvious to claim to say that. But what I have a problem with is the fact that here is a British guy. He's clearly British, right? And he's been living in Japan for years. Okay, fair enough. Right, but who's had 18 surgeries to look exactly like a real-life person who is still living and who is in a BTS band, which is a massive K-pop band, and one of his pronouns is Yimin. And if I go to Yimin and Park Yimin, better known mononymously as Jimin, is a South Korean singer, songwriter, and dancer. So this guy is real. So he's a real person, and Ollie London is now saying that he's going to, one of his pronouns is Jimin, and he says he's transracial, and he says that he is now Korean. No, you don't get known. This is absolutely disgusting. You do not have the right to take on another culture, right? And not only take on another culture, or to also claim that you are now Korean. You are not Korean. You have no roots in Japan. Your background is not Korean. Your parents aren't Korean. Your parents are British. Now, you can seek citizenship in a country, right? You can like their culture, and that's fine, right? But you do not have the right to say that you are now Korean and blatantly do a video, which he did. If you want to check it out for yourself, you can go to Ollie London on YouTube, because I'm not gonna play it. But he blatantly said in a YouTube video that he did this on the back of Pride Month, and he said that he got courage from people who came out in Pride Month. So, and he came out as non-binary. Which, listen, good for him. I'm not diminishing that part. But what he fails to realise is that just because you have 18 surgeries, right, and you identify as Korean, or he says he is now Korean, no, that's not how it works. There is not transracial does not exist. It doesn't exist. Literally, transracial does not exist. It's certainly not in this case. I would highly recommend you go and check out. Let me find her channel. Right. Yeah, if you go to your search bar and you type in Luxeria. That's capital Luxeria, and you can find her channel, her video that she did talking about Ollie London, and she can explain more in depth about this problem than I can. But I just wanted to cover it a little bit and say that it's absolutely, absolutely disgusting, and a lot of Korean people get murdered. Right, and so, you know, and also I've heard him speak the language, and he's not that good at it, in my opinion. But anyway, I wanted to cover that, and I will put a link to Luxeria's channel in the podcast description, and I would highly suggest you go and check her out, and that video in particular. Also, another update. Let me pull it up. This is sort of on the fly, so to speak. Dear old Katie Hopkins, the very outspoken woman, the controversial right-wing commentator, Katie Hopkins has been deported from Australia over her naked quarantine boasts. Here's what Twitter thinks, but I'm not going to go through. But so, first Twitter. Now a TV show and an actual country, Katie Hopkins has a dazzling ability to get herself booted from places and platforms. The controversial right-wing commentator has been deported from Australia after she bragged about flouting the country's COVID rules. On Tuesday morning, local time, she shared a now-deleted selfie telling supporters she would never be silenced after being sent back to the UK. She was supposed to be appearing on Australia's Big Brother. In the caption to her post, she wrote, "See you in the morning, my lovelies. You may deport the Hopkins, but you cannot silence the truth. We will fight to take back our freedoms." And obviously, you know, she then since deleted that. The former Apprentice star touched down in Oz last week to appear on a celebrity version of Big Brother and was immediately placed under 2 weeks of quarantine in a government-mandated hotel. However, on Friday, she posted an also now deleted Instagram Live video boasting that she was deliberately rebelling against the regulations by taunting gods. Offering up an image that no one wants to envisage, the 46-year-old said she also planned to lie in wait for staff to deliver her food to her room so that she could open the door naked with no face mask. And Australian rules dictate people in quarantine are not permitted to open their door until 30 seconds after their meals have been delivered. And obviously, Katie being Katie, flouted those rules because Katie Hopkins likened to Piers Morgan, they don't give a fuck about the rules. But her mini stunt, I'd like to call it, backfired because now she has been removed from appearing on Big Brother and the Australian government want her out of their country. So, you know, that backfired. So, I just wanted to do a couple of updates, but let's actually get on to the actual topic. On April 18th, 1943, four local boys, Robert Hart, Thomas Willets, Bob Farmer, and Fred Payne, were poaching or bird nesting in Hagley Wood, part of the Hagley Estate, belonging to Lord Cobham, near Wixbury Hill, when they came across a large rich elm. Thinking the location to be a particularly good place to hunt birds' nests, Farmer attempted to climb the tree to investigate. As he climbed, he glanced down into the hollow trunk and discovered a skull. At first, he believed it to be that of an animal, but after seeing human hair and teeth, he realised that he had found a human skull. As they were on the land illegally, Farmer put the skull back and all four boys returned home without mentioning the discovery to anybody. However, on returning home, the youngest of the boys, Willets, felt uneasy about what he had witnessed and decided to report the find to his parents. So that's the discovery. Now the investigation. When the police checked the trunk of the tree, they found an almost complete skeleton with a shoe, a gold wedding ring, and some fragments of clothing. The skull was valuable evidence in that it still has some of hair and had a clear dental pattern, despite some missing teeth. After further investigation, the remains of a hand were found some distance from the tree. The body was sent for forensic examination by Professor James Webster. He quickly established that it was that of a female who had been dead for at least 18 months, placing the time of death in or before October 1941. Webster also discovered a section of taffeta in her mouth, suggesting that she had died from suffocation. From the measurement of the trunk in which the body had been discovered, he also deduced that it must have been placed there, still warm, after the killing, as it could not have lit it once rigor mortis had taken hold. Police could tell from items found with the body what the woman had looked like, but with so many people reported missing during the Second World War, records were too vast for a proper investigation to take place. They cross-referenced the details they had with reports of missing persons throughout the region, but none of them seemed to match the evidence. In addition, they contacted dentists all over the country, since that dentistry was quite distinctive. In 1944, a graffiti message related to the mystery appeared on a wall in Upper Dean Street, Birmingham, reading, "Who put Bella down the Rich Elm? Hagley Wood." This provided investigators with several new leads for tracing who the victim could have been. Other messages in the same hand appeared to since at least the 1970s. Similar graffiti has sporadically appeared on the Hagley obelisk near to where the woman's body was discovered, which asks the slightly modified "Who put Bella in the Rich Elm?" facial reconstruction. An episode of the television programme Nazi Murder Mysteries described a forensic facial reconstruction undertaken by the Liverpool John Moores University Face Lab from photographs of it was commissioned by Andrew Spark for his books on the incident theories. In a Radio 4 programme that first broadcast in August 2014, Steve Punt suggested two possible victims. One possible victim was reported to the police in 1944 by a Birmingham sex worker. In the report, she stated that another sex worker called Bella, who works on the Hackley Road, had disappeared about 3 years previously. The name Bella or Lubella suggested the graffiti writer was probably aware of the identity of the victim. A second possibility came from a statement made to police in 1953 by Una Mashup, in which she said that her ex-husband, Jack Mashup, had confessed to family members that he and a Dutchman called Van Rout had put the woman in the tree. Mashup and Van Rout met for a drink at the Littleton Arms, a pub in Hackley, later that night. Mashup said the woman became drunk and passed out while they were driving. The men put her in a hollow tree in the woods in the hope that in the morning she would wake up and be frightened into seeing the error of her ways. Jack Mashup was confined to a Salford mental hospital because he had recurring dreams of a woman staring at him, out at him from a tree. He died in a hospital before the body in the Rich Elm was found. The likelihood of this being the correct explanation is questioned because Una Mashup did not come forward with this information until more than 10 years after Jack Mashup's death. Another theory comes from an MI5 declassified file about Josef Jacobs, the last man to be put to death in the Tower of London on 15th of August 1941. An Abwehr agent, he parachuted into Cambridgeshire in 1941, but broke his ankle when landing and was soon arrested by the Home Guard. On his person was found a photo purportedly of his lover, a German cabaret singer and actress named Clara Bird. Jacob said that she was being trained as a spy and that had he made contact, she might have been sent over to England after him. However, there is no evidence that Clara Ball was parachuted into England, and several witnesses describe that Clara Ball was around 6 foot tall, while Bella was 5 foot. In September 2016, it was determined that Clara Ball had died in Berlin on 16th of December 1942. In 1945, Margaret Murray, an anthropologist and archaeologist at University College London, proposed a more radical theory, witchcraft, because she believed that the severing of one hand was consistent with a ritual called the Hand of Glory. After the victim had been killed by gypsies during an occult ritual, her ideas excited the local press and led investigators to consider another seemingly ritualistic killing of a man, Charles Walton, in nearby Lower Quinton. In 1953, another theory surfaced, namely that the victim was a Dutch woman named Clarabella Dronkers, and she had been killed by a German spy ring consisting of a British officer, a Dutchman, and a music hall artist, for knowing too much. Available records and evidence were unable to support the story. So, who did put Bella in a witch elm? Could it have been a spy? Could it have been witchcraft? Who knows? Right, let me know your thoughts. But that would be it, today's. Sorry about there not being an episode yesterday, but the episodes may be a bit, may not come out, as they are meant to, within the next few weeks or more, as I'm adjusting to medication, but they will be coming out. But that will be it, and I will see you in the next one.
I wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.